Father, I thank you for just the admonition of the Holy Spirit that we are who you say we are. And as long as we're in this planet Earth, Lord, we're going to put on the whole armor of God. We're going to walk by the Spirit, and we're going to be those, yes, those, quote, Jesus people. That's who we are. We are those, quote, Jesus people. We love you with all of our heart. Our life belongs to you. As we said earlier, we may die martyrs, but we won't die of boredom. And we'll be in great company if we do die martyrs. For this coming year, 2021, we give you this church. And we're going to be centered on your mission. We're going to be centered on your mission, Lord, now more than ever. We love you in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. Amen, amen. Well, I want you to put your hands together this morning for our community pastor, Gretchen Cannon. She's going to come and continue the admonition on disciple making.
Gooder and gooder. Thank you, Diane. Good morning. Father, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that you created us to be conformed to your image and not our own. And not our own thoughts or what we think you look like. And so, Father, as we dive into the next however many minutes, I ask that the things that you want to be said come across loud and clear. Yes. That we hear, we accoo your words. We actually hear them. And it embers faith inside of us. And then we shema, we walk out our obedience to the things that you have to say. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wasn't worship awesome? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was very good. Very good. I want to recap just a few things briefly. We have a lot to get into this morning, a lot of important things. So right here is our goal right now this year at Grace Church is to develop a culture of intentionality regarding disciple-making, maturity, and lordship. That word at the end is the most important word in that, okay? Because if you make him Savior but you don't make him Lord, then you're missing, I'm going to say 80%. Maybe you can say 50-50. But of what he has for you. Lordship is complete ownership rights where he rules and reigns in your heart. That's what the kingdom is all about. And the opportunities being created, we talked last week briefly about the different layers here of discipleship at Grace Church. And so community, so those of you that are involved in things like outreaches, 60 plus, finding hope, financial peace, things like that, prayer shield, that falls in that layer. And then there's just some organic groups, like the Lord's laid it on some people's hearts, to spend time with people and not to hang out, but intentionally grow in the things of the Lord. And then we have discovery groups, which are our spring season will start at the end of March this year. And the reason why it's starting late is because we're going to do a four-week Eat the Word here at the church. And so I implore you to please sign up for that. This is something I was contacted by Waylon's first grade teacher. He's in seventh grade now. And she messaged me. She had a major surgery this past week. And before she went into surgery, she just said, I'm looking for a new Bible study to do this year. And I know that you have some suggestions. And so I messaged her back and said, I can recommend some things, but I probably haven't done a Bible study since 2017 because I've learned how to eat the word and let the word of the Lord speak to me through scriptures. And I would love to teach you or show you how to do that if you're interested. And so we were messaging last night, and she has signed up, and her best friend has signed up. And so it's such an awesome thing to be able to read scripture and hear the voice of the Lord for yourself and what he wants for you, and for you to know what your obedience is in that. Because we're going to read some of the same scriptures, and my obedience walk is going to be completely different than somebody else's. Okay. And so, that's what it's all about. So I encourage you, jump online and sign up for that. The next layer after discovery groups is what I call disciple making. It's come straight out of Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. And so, that's what we're going to focus on the rest of today, because, mainly there's just a lot of questions about what it looks like. So I've been walking this road not very well since 2018, and learning every week how to do it more like Jesus and less like me. And so we're going to talk about that, because there's a lot of questions surrounding that. We believe that this is the truest form of what Jesus modeled. It's not the only path to Jesus. It's not the only path to spiritual maturity. But we do believe that it's effective and it's efficient to fill the gap between the new believer or the stagnant ones, or the ones that just want to continue to grow in him and be able to help others and grow them in him by the Holy Spirit. We can't grow anything. We just get to plant. And we get to water. But he actually does all of the producing. And that is freedom. That is freedom. Our vision here is advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time, if you didn't know that. And so we have been really good at advancing his kingdom. Steve and I talked on live stream Wednesday. If you didn't catch that, jump online onto our website and check that out. But we talked about how... we've been really good at giving information and then telling you guys like to go do it. So information to innovation, like go do it. But we have been horrible, I'm going to say, and I think you'll agree, at imitation. Like, let's do this together and then you go try it and come back, and then where did flesh get in? Where was spirit there? You know, where did you win? Where did you not win? And it's not lose. It's not win or lose here. Lose means you didn't do anything. You know, you didn't try. You didn't try to walk out your obedience in any way. You didn't partner with him. And so disciple making is a vehicle for this to happen. I want to read for you briefly Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." That verse at the end is awesome. Like, he tells you, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and do this. Because I have all authority, I want you to go do this. But then at the end, he says, we're going to do it together. He's with you. This isn't a program. This isn't something you do. It is definitely something that is complete partnership with him. When he started revealing to me the difference in what it was to make disciples and do church, or make disciples and have discipleship, he told me to begin, build, and grow a movement of disciple making and find 2 Timothy 2:2 people. And I really had no clue what in the world a movement was, and I really didn't know what disciple making was, even though I had been in discipleship training for years and years and years of my life. I knew about it. I didn't have a clue how to do it, besides you go overseas and you help some people that need help. That was about the extent of what I knew. And so 2 Timothy 2:2 right here says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, Commit these to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. Right here is a perfect picture of the people that you look for to make disciples, people that are faithful. And that word faithful or reliable means that they're just able to go and execute a command. So he married the command to go make disciples to faithful people that can are able to go execute a command. And then this is all like multiplication, who will be able to teach others also. And that word men is mankind. It's not gender specific. So if I go and lay my life down to disciple Gladys, and Gladys then finds somebody that's faithful and reliable in Christy, who's sitting behind her, and she pours her life into her to become somebody that looks like Jesus. And then Christy finds a faithful person to pour her life in, which is Christy behind her. Like, it just continues, because the thing here is to go and teach others that they can do that also. And you've modeled and you've shown how to do that. And so, but it's not apart from him. I love the quote from Bill Hull. He says, we are using the same words but speaking a different language when it comes to the word disciple. Just like when I say dog, everybody has their own, like you got your image of whatever a dog means to you, right? Some of you guys are this big and some of you guys are this big, right? Yeah, some of your dogs want to eat me and some of your dogs do not, right, Jody? Her dog tried to eat me one time. I assured it later that I was a good person and Jody did love me, but it didn't really care. And I was in a convertible and I assured her that thing could get in this car and I could not get the roof up fast enough. But so I thought, what suitcase can I get under? So if we're using the same words, but we're speaking a different language, then what does the language of a disciple mean? And so here it is right here for us. Someone that abides in him, which creates a deep desire and a delight of walking in his ways. And walking in his ways is just his character and his nature. And out of that creates a byproduct of doing his works. And so it would look like this. And you notice how there are arrows. There are arrows for a reason. It doesn't start at works, but that is how the majority of us function. I mean, let's be honest. We're like, we're going to go do this, and then we're going to go and sit with him and see if we did anything right or wrong. Or we may not even ask him for a while, right? We may go do stuff and do stuff and do stuff. Or we may go sit with him and we go and do stuff, but we're meaner than a snake. Because we've detached from him and we haven't learned to walk in the nature and the character of who he is. And so it is a flow that comes only from abiding. You know, Peter in the Bible, poor Peter, but it is like the best example in the world. Like, he was a perfect picture in the Gospels of how this has to work. Because he went and did stuff all the time and he was not walking in the ways of Jesus or doing his works. Like, Jesus didn't cut off people's ears and other things like that. And why? Because Peter could not abide with Jesus. He could not abide in him or with him or him and Peter, because Jesus was still on the earth. The best thing he could do was to be beside Jesus or listen to Jesus. Now, you guys think about this. Everybody's like, what would it be like to have walked with Jesus? I don't want to know. I want the regeneration inside of me and the inbirthing of the Holy Spirit instead of walking with him. Now, that's my personal preference, but think about it. It is his desire, but like, think about it. Once Peter was able to abide with the Lord, once Acts 2 happened and Peter was able to abide with the Lord, His whole character and nature began to change. The things that he did began to change. He started preaching with boldness and just so many different things. And so it's a perfect picture of before regeneration and after. So like if you're going around and you're doing the things of the Lord and you're trying to be kind and you're trying to be gentle and you're trying to be loving, then you need to set with him. For one, like, are you born again? Have you been completely saturated and filled up with the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling life of Christ and his Spirit? And if so, if your answer is yes to that, then have you unhooked your umbilical cord and you've started feeding off of other things instead of off of him? And so that's the, like, it has to be this way. So I'm not going to spend time on this, but I'm going to throw it up so you guys can either grab it, take a picture of it, or you can grab it off live stream later. But these are just some scriptures. Like, if you want to know what we're talking about when we talk about ways, or you want to know what we're talking about when you talk about works, here are some scriptures. These are not all the scriptures. Obviously the font kept getting smaller and smaller, but, these are not all the scriptures, but there's some for you to be able to go and dive into and see what we mean when we talk about what does it look like to walk in his ways? What does it look like to do his works? And so I encourage you to get into those and let the Lord, reveal to you, what that looks like. It's good. It's good. So disciple making here at Grace, we're going to talk about just a couple of, well, we're going to talk about several things, but I want to read, the scripture for you, out of 1 Thessalonians, verse 8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. So the first thing that I do when I describe disciple making is it's relational and it's Jesus style. It's relational with me and him. It needs to be relational with you and him, and it's relational with us. If those things don't happen, this doesn't happen. Now think about it. So as somebody that is making disciples, like, you're not just teaching them the gospel of the kingdom. That is not what this is. So all of your preconceived thoughts about discipleship or Bible studies or anything like that, you need to just wipe your definition clean. And you need to start over. It's relational. Like, you eat together. You break bread together. You spend time together. You pray for each other's families. You take meals to each other when you need to. When somebody's having a rough week, or they had a baby, or they had a surgery, or whatever. You babysit each other's kids. You offer time and time again, like, what can you do? When your power's out, you do laundry for them. Like, that's what you do when you are in relationship with each other, because it's family. Gavin covered that so well in his message about what spiritual family looks like. Like, you lay your life down for them. And so just like you learn from the moment you get married and the moment you birth a child to lay your life down for your spouse and for your kids, this is a whole nother layer that Jesus asks us to do, is he asks us to lay our life down for one another. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily everybody in the world or everybody at Grace Church. I'm talking about those that are 2 Timothy 2:2 people that he is asking you to invest your life in. It's all about intentionality. Intentionally help someone progressively learn how to be a disciple of Jesus and walk with them to maturity. understand the call and the assignment and the command and the value of Jesus' mandate to make disciples is so vital. It doesn't happen by accident. It's an intentional pursuit of people for the Lord. It's an intentional pursuit of people for the Lord. Intentionality is key. Accountability is key. Humility is key. Submission is key. You can't make disciples without intentionality and accountability. And you can't have those two things without a vision and a purpose. I will tell you, if you could take my last week and you could divide it into a column of what you might call wins and losses, they are probably 50-50 this week. And I'm not talking about in my personal life only. I'm talking about in the realm of making disciples. Like, there has been some huge heartbreaks and some overwhelming joy. But what I have to remember is it doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Like, the rhema word that the Lord gave me when I ate Matthew 28 was, Gretchen, what I am asking you to partner with me and the giver of life is something that is a huge and of great importance, to impart knowledge of me to them and to know how to move towards this knowledge being applied. Knowledge with me in sight, maintaining these concepts as the breath inside of me and them. That's all abiding before anything else. And so if I didn't have that rhema word, it would be very easy for me to have quit this week. Okay? So you need to set with the Lord, and you need to get the word of the Lord for you, because it will inbirth faith. And then when you want to quit, you can go back to that, because he is the one that put the faith inside of you to walk out your obedience. Not whether somebody's excited and champion and going for it, or if somebody is not. Okay? And very, very, very important. It's imperative that you understand it's not opening your home up. So I have a group on Sunday night from 5 to whenever they leave. Sometimes they're all gone by 8:30. Sometimes it's 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and then we find out somebody's tire's flat in the driveway, so we're trying to find the air compressor and air it up and following home. Like, these real things happen. But it's not just Sunday night. Like, you lay your life down for them. So you're in contact with them. You're in relationship with them. So it's not like you have a group to where you can fill, like, how many can fit in my living room? This is how many I have. It's not feasible and practical for you to be able to lay your life down and invest the things that he's asking you to invest in that many people. Jesus showed us how he invested in 12 men, right? But he actually had how many that he was really close to out of that 12? 3, right? And so he even showed us in the human form of him coming on earth what it actually looks like and what we can manage. You don't make disciples of yourself, but only of Jesus. We do not disciple to our talents, our opinions, our perspectives. We only facilitate those that we're walking with to go to Jesus for everything. We don't give advice. We don't give our insight. We only give the word of the Lord. We only give the word of God. Google or any type of search engine, Bing is your favorite friend if you are reminded of a portion of a scripture and you want to turn it into advice or experience, but you can't remember the whole thing. You just search that portion of it. I guarantee you it will come up, and then you can speak the word of God and not the word of yourself over them, because the word of God is what plants and what grows and what brings a harvest. The word of the Lord, not us. And it's also the only thing that separates bone and marrow. however you want to say it. So the next thing, disciple making here at Grace Church is, there's a toolbox and you pull as the Holy Spirit directs. And so, some of you have heard the story, some of you have not, so I'm going to tell it. I started being intentionally discipled, for the first time in my life in November of 2017. And I had been mentored and, sown into by people, but I'm talking about intentionally discipled for me to be able to learn how to abide in a deeper way with Him and lasting, to be able to manifest His character, His ways, and to be confident because He has inbirthed it inside of me, empowered me to walk out the things that He did, like the works, praying for people, feeding the poor, and things like that. And so I was in a group that was kind of an experiment with somebody that had been doing, had been making disciples for several years. And he took a few of us that were on staff at a couple of churches and then an elderly couple from his church that he knew was connected to the Lord, that he knew sat with the Lord, that he knew abided, and he poured into us. And what his experiment was for us to disciple as alongside of us being discipled. Because if you look at the triangle, the very first thing that you need to do to be a disciple of Jesus is to abide. And that was something that we were doing at different levels, all five of us that were in this group. But understanding the process of disciple making and having a toolbox to be able to let the Holy Spirit use was not there when I started my group. And so I invited 11 people into my life, and I had the layer life down part, and I had the, like, I don't need a manual, and I'm good. I'm just going to go do this with the Holy Spirit. Like, I had all the confidence in the world in that. He had given me a rhema word, and I had that. It had in-birth faith inside of me. But what I didn't have is an understanding of what the process was. So I invited in these 11 and I asked for 1 year. Well, what I didn't factor in was we would take off a little bit at Christmas and we would take off some in the summer and, you know, some of those types of things. And so really it wasn't even a year because of that. We weren't really meeting together that. And also, I just didn't understand, like, and I don't mean understand here. I had been researching and reading books and listening to speakers for several years. I didn't understand and hear what it was like. And so I did a disservice to those 11. Like, it has impacted me greatly because what I did was I showed them how to make a disciple in a format and a program and a class. And if I could do it over with those 11, I would. And I am grateful the Lord has given me that opportunity because on Wednesday nights, I've brought in those that are willing to, for us to redo this. But I will tell you, like, it's not a program. And so if you would just capture the heart of Jesus and what he modeled, that it takes time and it takes intentionality and it takes learning to die and it takes learning to live together and not just tolerate each other. And it takes the willingness to be able to fight for each other, even when you're totally annoyed with them. You know, like, it really becomes family. And so why I'm telling you this is when I started, and I did a podcast on this and even talked about it with some that had been discipled by the same person, But they had the full experience. I had the different, I had the experimental route. And when I started my group, my toolbox, if I was going to change a wax ring, I had a flathead screwdriver and a hammer. And the Lord needed me to change a wax ring on a toilet. It wasn't where I needed to be. And so the Holy Spirit needed me to help some people with their identity. But I just knew how to tell them the truest thing about you is what God says about you. But I didn't know how to show them, like, hey, man, when your emotions are all jacked up like this and your thoughts and your behavior, you got something else in your box besides Jesus. Because Jesus is the only path for our identity. Like, I didn't have that. I had this toolbox with just maybe 2.5 tools, and that was put together. I had, like, half of this tool and 3/4 of this. And so, like, the first time I showed them how to eat the word, it was horrible. Like, it was like English class, and it sucked really bad. I don't know. Some of you guys might like English. I would prefer to blow something up in science or map something out in geography, but, or calculate something in math. But so, like, the Holy Spirit is the best tool. But guys, you know, like, you already have things in your toolbox that He has shown you in Revelation that are scriptural based that you can pull out. So, you know, this is a tool. What is a disciple? Like, when I asked this before too long, as Steve asked this before too long, some of you are going to have that image in your mind. And it's a tool to remind you ways and works never come apart from Him. And if they do, you just stop dead in your tracks and you go back to Him. It's called repentance. It's called changing your mind. He shows you when you're not doing it, and you literally stop and you change your mind and say, I'm not going to do that anymore without you. That was not good. That was not fruitful. That was not healthy. Not only was it not healthy and it felt icky to me, but it didn't help anybody. It only hurt them even. Had a fantastic conversation this week with somebody that had been given an opportunity to do a program of discipleship. And the thing that she kept voicing over and over and over is, like, it wasn't good. And I was supposed to lead people and grow them, and I hurt them, but I didn't even know it. Like, we have to stay connected to Him or that will happen. And so this is a tool. This is exactly what I'm talking about. And so when I'm talking about a toolbox that the Holy Spirit pulls as He directs us, the Holy Spirit is the best tool, but there is a partnership. And you know what? I will tell you this. If we were all making disciples well, this room would be packed. And our houses would be packed every day for people hungering after the things of the kingdom. So we're not doing something completely right. And so I'm asking you to be open-minded. Every tool that we have comes from Scripture. It's not just a good idea. And more than that, it usually doesn't come from one Scripture. Usually it comes with a plethora of them. And as you begin to own a certain tool, like, the Lord will give you your own Scriptures to own. So just like the Scriptures I put up on the screen for Abide, Ways, and Works, like, the Lord will probably drop in your spirit as you sit with Him the Scripture that imbursts faith inside of you that fits that tool. And that's the one that you own. And that is beautiful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the things and intents of the heart." Eat the Word is another tool. I encourage you, sign up. February 21st, 4 weeks. You will be in small groups with people that eat the Word on a consistent basis in their own life, and people that have taught others or led others through it. And it's not a class. It's not English. It's just giving people an opportunity. I'll never forget the day, Annie and I were prepping for, Students of Grace, Eat the Word. We did 3 weeks with the parents and the students of Students of Grace. And, I don't remember if I was helping her, she was helping me, or we were helping each other walk through it. And like, how do you let them experience? We were trying to pretend that both of us knew nothing about Eat the Word. That was a little bit hard. But how do you take somebody that knows nothing and let them experience John 3:16 when it's one of the most common scriptures in the world? And right about the time we got started, we heard Patty Phillips in the hallway. And I said, hang on. And I flew open the door and I said, Patty, are you in a hurry? And she goes, well, no, not really. I mean, I need to be wherever by 4. And it was like 10:30 in the morning. I said, oh, you'll be fine. You want to learn how to eat the word? And she goes, oh, yes. And so she came in and she ate the word with us, and she was bawling like a baby, and it was beautiful. And the Lord gave her a rhema word. And did it feel like English class at all? No. And it's just something, and you did it with your virtual discovery group. Is that right? Are you guys talked about it? Not yet. You've got it scheduled. Her virtual discovery group, they've ended the curriculum and they're going to meet again, and they're going to do Eat the Word virtually together and teach those that haven't been taught. But like, it's something for you to experience the word of the Lord to you through scripture. And so that's a tool. The core tenets, spiritual family, abiding, hearing and obeying, and transformation. Like, I just want to read this. It's one of the most precious feedback that I've seen in a long time. And like, the Lord is toiling up, some things in our heart. But I sent this out to some of the people in my Wednesday night group and my Sunday night group. And this is one of the feedback. It says, the process of building a discipling culture has come to Grace Church. I thank God for that. But I wholeheartedly believe that just like the building of a house, the process cannot be rushed. We were rushed. Now, this was a lady in my first group, the one that I said I did a disservice to. I said just a year. You know, I didn't understand the process. I saw it as a program when I started. She said, that is no secret that we were rushed. It is what it is. We can't get so caught up in the end result that we cut corners and miss small details. I personally have made so many mistakes in the process of making disciples in my own group. I wasn't obedient in my walk with the Lord during my own journey through becoming a disciple. But if my only goal is to be obedient, I lack relationship and personal connection with the Father. I become someone who is working to make disciples. The Lord has had me in Romans 8 this week and reminded me of it again yesterday when I sat with him on this. I keep hearing called and then equipped. The call came first. He called me in. In his calling was intimacy with him. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. We can never ever get away from intimacy with him and push to make disciples. And that is what the Lord has revealed to her. Like, you are pushing to make disciples. And I just want you to sit with me. It's Mary and Martha over and over and over. And we have to remember, even though we've got a goal, even though it's a mandate of Jesus, we cannot do this apart from him, because no fruit will come. Something else in disciple making is balanced Christianity, the up, the in, and the out. And I'm not going to spend hardly any time on this. Live stream a few weeks ago, Steve and I dove very deep into what this looks like. It's up with the Father, and then it's in with each other. So Jesus showed in with his 12, and he showed an even deeper in with the three. And then out with the crowds, you also saw Jesus. Now, he tried to get away from the crowds most always, but he did have out with the crowds, and he even sent the disciples out. You know, they came back and they said, we couldn't get this demon out. And he retrained them. He's like, oh, here's the next layer of your training. Those only come out by prayer and fasting. And so if you have it in your mindset that I want to feed the poor, making disciples is sitting around in a living room, then you have an unbalanced perspective of what making disciples are. Because if we're making disciples of people that abide in him, walk in his ways, and do his works, a lot of his works has to do with not just the in, but also with the out. And so it is praying for people. It is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It is laying hands on the sick. Evangelism and disciple making are not in competition. Okay, everybody repeat this. Evangelism and disciple making are not in competition. Evangelism is not separate from disciple making. Evangelism is where disciple making starts. It's the first step. It's just like two wings on an airplane. If you have evangelism and not disciple making, you're going to crash. And if you have disciple making and not evangelism, you're going to crash. Like, you have to have both. It's the balance. True evangelism always leads to somebody becoming a disciple of Jesus. If you are reaching out to people and they are not becoming disciples of Jesus that abide in him, walk in his ways, and do his works, then you've just created another consumer. You've just created somebody that's going to live as Jesus as Savior and not Jesus as Lord. And so I want to just encourage you, like, when you focus on decisions, always remember this: your job is over. But when you focus on making disciples, your job just gets started at the point of somebody being saved and brought into the kingdom, brought into the spiritual family. This is interesting. A survey done in 2020, 58% of Christians surveyed across our nation do not feel like the Bible is an adequate to define morality and truth. 58% of people that are Christians say that the Bible is not adequate to define truth and morality. Now, if that is not, like, that is a true picture of people being evangelized without completely becoming a disciple of Jesus. Right? And so when you marry the two, it's so powerful. Talk to you a minute about the phases of disciple making. There's four of them, 1 to 3 years. I talked about how, like, my first group, I asked for a year, and I just, like, did a total disservice. What I didn't understand were the phases and the process of what that looks like. And so I'm not going to go into it, but it's like there's not a start date and an end date. When you get comfortably through the phases, then you're ready to go. That's pretty much what it is. And so we call them D1 through D4 for disciple making. So D1 is come and follow, where Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's where we learn to have spiritual family and we get connected with each other and with him. And D2 is like when you decide, I think I want to quit. Okay? Because it's come and die. take up your cross and follow me. It's no longer fun. And it's the longest phase of all of them because you've got everybody in the room that is trying to die and they don't want to. And then they have to die to multiple things because the Lord keeps revealing different things to them. And then they keep falling back into their old habits and they keep having to work their plans and remind themselves of the truth. And it's over and over and over. And you want to quit and they want to quit sometime during it. But when you start, you agree like we are making a covenant promise to stay together all the way through. I'm not giving up on you. You are not giving up on me. We are going to do this together because it is tough. The third one is no longer servants, but friends, where Jesus says in John 15, I no longer call you servants, but friends because you know the master's business. Like you know each other so well. You know the things that like trigger, things you win, things you need help with. Like I have somebody that I walked with in my first group and we actually got to spend lots of hours week after week intentionally after our group ended because remember I did a disservice and she is definitely doing very well in even helping people grow in becoming a disciple. And in that time though, of meeting with her in this time, just one-on-one, like I learned when she has flare-ups, I ask three things. And I say, have you been drinking water? Are you about ready to have your cycle? And did you sleep last night? And then if it's all good answers, then we proceed. We proceed into what's the scripture for you? What's the thing that the Lord's wanting to dig out of your heart? But because we're no longer like parent, teacher, or, you know, whatever, like we are friends. We know each other. We fought for each other. Then I can ask those questions and she feels no threat and we're able to go through the heart of the matter. And so, it is definitely a process. I don't even have a clue what time it is. I need to be closing. See, my iPad says 8:13 because that's when I screenshot my notes. So it's 8:13. If you're on the worship team, if you want to come back up, one of the things that I wanted to get into, and I'm going to touch on it like fly through, open your Bibles to Mark 4. We talk briefly about the soils, as this is so good, because if you're not a reliable person of the gospel, if your soil is not progressing to good, and you are not a person of peace, you probably will not get an invitation from somebody who wants to lay their life down if you're not a person of peace to them, right? I don't want to lay my life down for you if you're kind of snotty to me. Right? And it's like, if the Lord asked me to, yes, but there needs to be peace. Like we've learned this the hard way over the last couple of years. Also, if people aren't faithful and reliable in the little, and if their soil is not progressing towards good. So right here, it says the sower sows the word. This is a farmer. They only sow the word. Verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of the riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are those sown on good soil, good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So right here, he lays out four types of soil. And I want you to take this week and I want you to sit with the Lord in this passage. I'm asking this of you. And I want you to email me, Gretchen@gracechurch.community, or text me if you have my cell phone number. And I want you to tell me what the Lord revealed to you at where you are in the soil. Like right here in the wayside, if you actually eat that word, it's a pathway that has been so walked upon, it's hard like concrete. So imagine driving down. I sowed wheat as a kid, tons. And we never sowed wheat. If our ground was hard, we chiseled it. I broke off so many teeth on chisels. I was about ready to have to start paying for them, is what my dad said. But you have to go fast on the tractor because it's so hard to break it up. But imagine driving down I-40 and taking a 50-pound bag of seed and you just start chunking it out the window. Are you going to come back in a month and have wheat? No. Like, that's the wayside. And what happens, it says very clearly that it falls on this hard ground, and so Satan comes and steals it. And so there's no way for it to even blow to the side of the road and get planted because the enemy comes and snatches it from you. Because your heart is so hard. The only way for that soil to change is repentance. For you to say, no longer will I hear the things of you and not listen, but I will obey, I will repent, I will change. The stony ground, you get fired up. Man, you hear the word of the Lord be preached, be sowed from the farmer to you, and you get excited. And then you walk out just the easy stuff, and it all fizzles out. And nothing can take root, so it falls away. The thorny soil, you are fractured mind. I love what Ed said to me this morning. I said, Ed, how are you? He said, I'm horrible and I'm great. And I said, oh, sounds like a fractured mind. And he said, this is what it is. I've asked the Lord to judge me. He had given the Lord permission to judge him and to examine his heart. And so he's dying to things because the Lord is coming in and saying, Ed, this. And Ed is saying, yes, Lord. And so his soil is becoming richer and richer because he is allowing the Lord to judge him, to come in. And it's not like, if you'll look in the scripture, it gives the list of all the things that you're fractured in your mind about. Your mind is all over the place. It also says it becomes unfruitful. So it actually goes in, but it doesn't bear any fruit. We call that in the farm world cheat. Cheat. It actually looks like wheat. And if you have cheat in your wheat, it is not a good thing. It doesn't sell for a good price because it's fake. It has no wheat kernels. It has no reproductive parts in it. And so unfruitful here when you eat it says any thought or action not originating and empowered by the Lord and not yielding what it ought to yield. And then the last soil is good, like you accept what is truth and you let it bear fruit. So go ahead and stand with me. If you are interested in becoming a disciple of the Lord, and you are interested in having some accountability of somebody to walk with you, like, you're welcome to come and tell me that. Go online, fill out a contact form, email me at gracechurch.community, and I will put you on a list. But I will tell you this. I just gave everybody an action to go set in Mark 4. And if I call you that next week and I say, what soil did he show you? And you go, oh, I forgot. It's probably a pretty good sign. 2 Timothy 2:2 is not potentially something active in your life. So we look for people that are reliable and faithful with the things that he's asking you to do and even the things that the farmer asks you to do, the sower of the word. And if your soil is not progressing towards good, we can scatter seeds for years and years and years. Satan's going to snatch them. It's not going to plant. It might grow, but there's no fruit. So like these are the things that he's shown us in the word, that it's what it's about when we invite somebody in to walk with them, to lay our life down, to make them ministers of the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord, where they abide in him, they walk in his ways, and they do his works. Anything?
All right. The meet and greet is here though, right?
Yeah, but do you have anything besides that? Okay. Well, I do. I just wanted to be sure. I'm sorry. So raise your hands with me. Lift your hands. Father, I purpose. If you're in agreement to purpose to be good soil, like I want you to agree with me in this. Father, I purpose to become good soil. Father, I purpose that every single time I open up the word of the Lord, I open up the scriptures, that I pledge to become better and better soil. Father, I also know that the truth, when I sit with you and you reveal to me what soil I am, like it will set me free, whether I am stony or thorny or good soil. Lord, the truth and the reality sets me free. But also what sets me free is knowing that it's my choice to become better soil. It's my choice to become the things, to become the place where you can sow seed into me through my time with you and through others, and that it will take deep, deep roots and it will come into a huge harvest that's fruitful for the things of your kingdom. And so I pledge today, right now, to make that decision that any time seed is sown my way, that I will be good soil. And if you show me I'm not, I will immediately repent. I will let you change my mind about what I thought I was and the reality of what I am. And I will walk out my obedience with you. If you made that commitment today, just say amen. In Jesus' name.
Can I come up now? If you want to be part of the meet and greet, find out more information, visit with Gretchen or others of us who can communicate about disciple making here on this side here. If you need prayer, maybe you introduced or received Christ this morning, we want to talk to you. Prayer for healing, strength, encouragement, meet over here. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Let's go change our world.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.